Hey there, this is Jessica Stewart, and you are listening to Finding Your Calm with Your Teenager, episode number 49. Anyone out there struggle to remain calm when dealing with your teenager? It's certainly been something that I have struggled with in my parenting journey, so that's what I'm here to help you with. This podcast will give you really practical advice and tips to remain calm when dealing with your teenager, because I truly believe if you can remain calm when doing this, you can remain calm in pretty much any situation. So listen in and enjoy. Welcome, welcome. I am glad to be back. I was off last week, so I do apologize for not having an episode in there, but there's just been some stuff going on with my work, and so my 9-to-5 job basically, and some things that I've been dealing with that have just made it a little challenging to get this out on a weekly basis. So I appreciate any patience if you were expecting an episode last week. I'm here now. So actually what I want to talk about relates a little bit to what's been going on with me at work and what it's been bringing up for me in terms of emotional management. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, I talk about the sort of the four core values or pillars in parenting that I do believe that if you're following them, it's going to lead you in the right direction. And so those pillars would be connection, acceptance, love, and managing emotions. So this episode today falls under the category of managing emotions. And when I'm talking about emotions, you know, I always like to talk about all of the emotions, not just happy ones. I'm not one who is all about positivity all the time and positive thinking, because I think we have the full spectrum. But this one I'm talking about is actually making some space for your negative emotions and how to do that, how it relates to parenting, and just sort of a little background on why I started thinking about this is basically I've been really angry and resentful lately about things in my life pertaining to work. So just a lot of anger has been coming up. And the situations just relating to my job and leading me to feelings of overwhelm at the sort of amount of work that's piling up due to staffing constraints. So maybe some of you can relate to this, along with just feelings of anger and frustration at not being able to get it all done. And also kind of a resentment that I have when I look at other people's jobs. Now, this isn't by no means true. This is just a thought that my brain likes to tell me when I'm looking at other people and when I'm feeling angry and resentful. I go around and I kind of just imagine different jobs and I make assumptions about the way their jobs go and about the feelings that they're having about their jobs, which of course my brain likes to tell me their job is just great. There's no issues with it at all. And they don't deal with the same sort of issues that I deal with my particular situation. So I'm not saying that's true at all. But when I am in a state of anger and resentment, that's kind of the way I'm seeing the world at that time. So the details about the job and what's going on with it are not so important, and not really specifically relevant to parenting teenagers. But what I thought was relevant was, as I'm going through this, is just a reminder of how important it is to make space for our own negative emotions, as well as the negative emotions of others. So when you're a parent, whether you're parenting small children or when you're just a human being, really. But I find it particularly during my parenting things is I deal with a lot of, and I have dealt with, is a lot of angry emotions. So there's lots of positive emotions when it comes to parenting. And the thing about it and why I don't focus so much on the positive emotions is because usually we don't need help and support when dealing with the positive emotions. We do, however, make the negative ones, and these are like so-called negative emotions. I like to think about emotions as neither good nor bad. If you can see yourself to find a way to look at all the emotions, the full spectrum, whether you would label them good or bad, as sort of in some sense neutral, in a way look at them as all, just all acceptable, normal human parts that we deal with and that come up, and look at them as a message to us that is kind of pointing us towards what is going on with us in the present moment. So somehow when anger comes up in parenting, at least for me anyways, I can't speak for everybody else, I would somehow feel like I wasn't a good parent because I would be feeling angry about situations. Or if I got frustrated or felt overwhelmed or felt any of these other so-called negative emotions, I would make that mean something about me as a parent and use it to sort of evaluate my skill as a parent. So as I've been going through this trying time at work, I must confess that I have spent a great deal of time just resisting the anger, the frustration, the resentment, the overwhelm. And what the resistance looks like, if you're wondering what I mean by that, is that it's kind of comes up as, I shouldn't be feeling this way, or why can't I figure this out? And what I've noticed is that whenever I have resisted it and made myself wrong for feeling it, the bad feelings that I'm having intensify. And I have essentially doubled the feeling of negativity, or really compounded those negative feelings and emotions by piling on top of the thought of the anger itself, is feeling like I am then wrong for feeling this way. Or like I said, the resistance shows up as the thought, I shouldn't feel this way, or I should be handling this better than I actually am. So after a great deal of time doing this over the past few months, because it's been coming up a lot for me, and it hasn't been coming up related to my parenting, as I've said, or my relationship with my teenager. And I just want to point that out because I don't have a specific situation with regards to this, but it's a transferable skill. So when you see anger in one area, you can notice also when it comes up in other areas. So I have started to realize just how terribly unhelpful it is to resist the anger, and started to look at things a bit differently. So what I realized was that I just don't love the feeling of being angry. And this isn't really a new thing I'm saying. Most of us don't love the feeling of the so-called negative emotions. And I find that I'm actually like afraid to let myself be angry because I feel like in some sense that it's wrong to be angry, and I'm not really comfortable with being angry. I think the way I see myself is that I should be a calm person all the time, and I have trouble actually with the emotion of anger because I just want to be sort of a peacemaker. And so when it comes up in me, it's like, whoa, this is really like just not acceptable. So, my next question that I have is, you know, why might this be? I sort of just answered that, is because I really don't see myself as an angry person. And I also think that I have this feeling that maybe a lot of people probably have this feeling, is that when you're parenting, you should be able to do it all and not get angry about the things that are going on. But the truth is, when I look back at my parenting journey, I was getting angry so much all of the time. And I would think in a lot of times in the past how this would make me feel like I wasn't being a good parent. So that wasn't really productive at all. So what I would offer in this case is to be able to make space for the anger. And these past few months just have been a reminder about how important that is. And when any of these strong emotions come up that almost stop you in your tracks and that almost like take you by surprise, and I've spoken about this before, it's like when they just kind of, these intense feelings come up and it's sort of uncharacteristic for you. Because I haven't been angry in some time. And some of it's due probably to the space I've had between when I was parenting teenagers and now that I'm a little further out from that. My kids are a little bit older, but I was able to learn a bit to manage my anger a bit better around them and make space for it. But it's a good reminder to kind of, for me, to realize how that could be coming up for somebody in the present moment. And when we are feeling that way, the first thing is to not make it mean that there's anything wrong with you. And that's what I mean by making space for it, by allowing it. And you may not be able to do that at first. You may begin to judge it a little bit. And that's okay too. And that's probably for the reasons that I've already said that, is that maybe you're thinking a good parent shouldn't get angry. But I'm not sure what parent out there doesn't get angry. So making space for it looks something like what I've talked about before in other ways you can process emotions, is just to name it when it comes up. So it's just a good reminder, like, wow, I'm really angry right now. And then just get curious about why that might be and why it might make sense that you're feeling angry. And really just investigate why it makes sense. And if you're feeling that judgment, also notice that you are judging yourself and remind yourself that there's nothing inherently bad about anger, which for me is not the easiest thing to come to terms with. But that's what I think, why I've kind of been hit with this lesson recently, is that I need to deal with anger in a different way. And I will tell you a little bit of a story about my husband. And maybe I've told this before, but he is more quick to anger about things. And because I'm not so comfortable with anger, I would always try to change it. And I would always try to make him not be angry. And then I had this realization really that he's not super uncomfortable with being angry. He kind of is angry. He feels it. And then he kind of lets it go. He can move through it. He doesn't hold on to it. But for me, as I was pushing down on it, not letting it come up, not be comfortable with it, pushing it away, resisting it, not looking at it, all that resistance stuff, it is just simmers just below the surface. It stays there on and on and on and on. So I learned a lot about that. Like I asked him the question, I'm like, does it bother you when you're angry? And he's like, no, not really. I'm just angry. And then I sort of just let it go. Maybe it might take a while. Like he doesn't let it go right away, but he doesn't push it away or see that there's anything wrong with him. So I have learned that from him, something I previously thought was anger is bad and you shouldn't feel angry and you shouldn't show anger. And I also am somewhat uncomfortable showing the anger. So really just how to make space for it, allow it to be there. And then also when you probably will be faced with the anger of your teenager on a regular basis. And if you can accept it and make space for it in yourself and be compassionate with yourself first about when you feel angry, if they show up as angry as well, you can also make space for it for them and just say, wow, you're really angry. Like, what's going on for you? So I know that I did a whole series about anger, and probably what I've said is somewhat repetitious, but I just wanted to bring this up again just because it's what's going on for me right now. And it was just a reminder and a very clear example of this work in action for myself, is that allowing the space for these negative emotions really does allow you to be build more compassion for yourself when you're feeling down and when you're feeling like worse. I have noticed a clear difference. And I know this intellectually many times, and I have had examples of it before. But when you know something intellectually and then you actually get a chance to put it into practice, it becomes much more clear. So making space for the anger, simply allowing it to be, saying, this is anger. Wow, wonder what you're so angry about. This is good information to have. And this helps you not judge it so much, helps you not push it away, and it can help you move through it or any other so-called negative emotion much more quickly without layering on the self-judgment on top of it, which by no means helps you feel any better. And like I said before, it doubles the negativity for you. I promise. So I hope this was a good reminder. I hope this was helpful. You can go a few episodes back and look at more where I delve into anger. But I really truly feel that by looking at a lot of the opposites of what we're talking about, that we have to look at the, when we're looking at connection. So if we look at the four pillars and we're looking at connection, we have to look at, okay, what is disconnection look like, so we can understand connection. And by looking at acceptance, we really have to look at, what does resistance look like? When we look at love, the opposite of that, you could argue, I don't know that the opposite of love is hate, but often for me, the opposite of love is fear. The opposite of love can be anger, maybe in certain ways. I'm not sure about that one. But when you're also looking at managing emotions, you can't just look at the positive emotions and just see yourself always to think positive. There's nothing wrong with thinking positively, but we also have to make space for the full range of the human emotions and the human experience. Okay, so I hope this was helpful. If you did find it helpful, I would surely appreciate it if you would share. If you would connect with me or email me, I'll leave my email in the show pages, and I will talk to you next time.